recently, former child actor Corey Feldman made some headlines because he has spoken out about one of his friends, or should I say former friend, Michael Jackson. Corey is also in the news because he's out promoting his new album, which is appropriately titled Former Child Actor. Corey's on the line with us right now from Memphis. Hi, Corey. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, I said in the intro, former child star, and I actually hate saying that a lot of times because I know so many former child actors hate hearing that, but you have an album out that is called Former Child Actor.
Right, I do. Well, the reason that I wrote the song, I actually wrote it with Rick Springfield, but the reason that I wrote this song was for that very reason, because I do hate it so much. And I was leafing through a magazine trying to figure out what to call the new album. And I saw, you know, the label Former Child Actor a couple times in some magazines. And I said, that's perfect, because essentially I want to make the message loud and clear that I'm anti-labelism. And, you know, basically if people want to put labels on me, they're going to do it anyway. So I might as well bring it out and put it in front of their face. And that way they can maybe rethink the whole process a bit.
Now, with all you've done in the past as an actor, I suppose some people would be surprised that this is not your first album. It's your third.
That's correct. I've been doing this for a while.
Have you, do you prefer being a musical performer as opposed to being an actor, or do you not see any difference between the delineation of either one?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of a good way to summarize it. For me, there, you know, I write a very delicate wave, a very delicate balance between the two, because, you know, I've actually been doing both for all of my life, but, you know, only recently, obviously, it's become more successful in the music side, which is great, you know, but music is definitely my heart and my soul, and it means a lot to me. However, that doesn't mean that I'll ever give up the other, you know, they're both equally as important factors of my life, I suppose.
Has it always been your heart and soul? In other words, have you always wanted to be a more of a musical performer than an actor, and that as an adult you now have a chance to do that more than the other?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, as a kid, it's something I always dreamed about doing, and you know, I started writing music when I was about 12. Started singing really before I was acting. A lot of people don't know this, but actually when I was a young kid, I used to sit down with a record player, and my parents would make me learn songs to go in and sing on auditions. So I would actually go in and I would sing to get the job, and that's how I got most of my jobs as a kid.
Wow. Now, I mentioned earlier the whole Michael Jackson thing. You've been in the news. I saw you, what is it, on Access Hollywood, talking about Michael, and then a couple of days after that, I don't know if you saw that, I assume you have, a member of Michael's Jackson's family was on talking about you talking about Michael. What's the whole deal there?
Okay, well, essentially, and this is a good chance for me to kind of try and clear some of it up, because you, at least it's, you know, live radio as opposed to you know, a taped TV show where things get edited. But the deal is that, yes, indeed, there was a big problem, and yes, I am very angry at Michael, and it's all about a song. I mean, it's really about a song that I wrote to Michael, who I actually co-wrote with my fiance, because we were both in the experience together. But the bottom line is, we wrote the song because of an experience with Michael, and it's a personal private message that I want him to get, and hopefully he will. At the same time, what the family's response was a little bit uncolored, I guess you would say. It's not fully colored in, you know, the whole story. So I will try and explain it a bit better, which is that, you know, the whole thing was that Michael didn't want me on the bus. And the family said, well, you know, he was on the bus and he's lying and blah, 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 blah. And on Access Hollywood, I really never said that I was on the bus. You know, I didn't want to admit that. And the reason for that was because, even though I was eventually allowed on the bus, it was Jermaine's decision. And Jermaine said, you know what, we're going to overrule Michael's decision, and we're going to allow him on the bus anyway.
Now, this was the bus leaving New York City post-September 11th.
This was on September 11th.
On September 11th.
Yeah, and we were trying to get out of the city, and I was there with the family visiting, and there for the 30th anniversary celebration. Michael and I got in a huge fight the night before at his celebration, and during that show, or right before the show, rather, we had a fallout, and I left the show early, and the next morning everything went down. And, you know, I mean, people get in fights or whatever, but, you know, when it comes to life and death, you're supposed to reconsider those options, you know. And Michael didn't, and said he didn't want me on the bus. And as a matter of fact, he said if I was on the bus, that the family bus wouldn't leave New York City. And so the family decided to go above Michael's head and allow me on the bus. And they did, and I do thank them for that, because, you know, who knows if I'd be around right now if I hadn't gotten out of there. But at the same time, they did it with the knowledge that I would never let Michael know. And then when I went and I wrote this song and all this press came out about it, then the family turned against me and said, oh, well, he's a liar, he was on the bus. Well, I never said I wasn't on the bus, I just said that Michael's decision was not to let me on the bus.
And this song you've written is called Megaloman, is that it?
Yes, that's correct. It's called Megaloman.
Okay, it's one of the many songs on your album. The album is entitled Former Child Actor. Now, you have a single that's up from the album, correct?
Yes, that's called Former Child Actor as well, and that's the one I wrote with Rick Springfield.
Okay, I'm going to give the audience a little taste of this right now. We can't play the whole song, but we can play some of it. Here is from the new album, Former Child Actor. I guess it's the title track. Here is Corey Feldman. Of Corey Feldman's new album entitled Former Child Actor. That is the title track. I guess you could describe that as alternative rock, correct?
Yes, it is. I would say that would be the best way to describe it.
And would that be indicative of what the entire album is like?
I couldn't really say that because the album is definitely very varied. It has quite an array of sounds and textures and different styles, categories, if you will. I mean, there's everything from that kind of a sound to more of a rap rock type sound. And then there's like some ballads with some very nice melodic structure and some, you know, nice lyrics and poetic stuff going on. So, I mean, there's a wide range of stuff. It's very diverse. But I try to have a little bit of everything for everybody. You know what I mean? I want something for everyone on the album.
You mentioned that you wrote it with Rick Springfield. How did the two of you hook up?
Actually, we were working on a film a couple of years ago called Legion, which was for the Sci-Fi Channel. And Rick and I were sitting around one day, and I said, you know, I'm a huge fan of your music. And he said, well, I heard you do music. And I said, yeah, well, let me play you some. And I played him some stuff, and he really, really liked it. And he liked it so much, as a matter of fact, that he decided to come do a couple shows with me playing lead guitar. And he actually took all of my stuff and memorized it and played lead guitar beautifully on all of the stuff on the album for the last album. And so we were sitting around one day, and we said, well, why don't we try writing something? And we said, well, if we were going to write something, what would it be? And we both got the idea to do a song that was about kind of being boxed into the category of teen star or, you know, an icon of some sort or, you know, that sort of thing. And that's really what it was about.
He's pretty well traveled a road before you that you have traveled on, I guess.
Yes, exactly. So that's, you know, we have a lot in common in that respect, and I think that's why we get along so well. And I also think it's why we're able to write something so poetic together, if you will.
Now, you're where now? You're in Memphis?
We're in Memphis. We're on our way right now to New Orleans, where we are going to spend our few hours off, and we're trying to get down to Tallahassee, Florida right now.
How many places are you going on this tour of yours?
32 cities.
Wow.
Across the country.
Do you ever get a chance to get up to Canada to perform?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I've spent much time in Canada, all over the Canadian border. I mean, from Vancouver side to Toronto to Montreal. I mean, I've pretty much covered the spectrum and working in all of the places. However, I have never been able to actually do a live show there. I even recorded a song on my last album because I did a movie called Bordello of Blood there. And while I was sitting around kind of bored for a couple days, I went into the studio and recorded one of the tracks on my last album, which was a Still Searching for Soul album, which the song was called Oh God.
And you recorded that?
I recorded that in Vancouver at the Mushroom Studios there.
Okay. Now, I also...
So anyway, the point is I would like to be able to tour there and promote the music there. And right now we have tentative plans working for a winter leg of the tour for the Canadian side.
I also understand that you're showing up in a video.
Which one?
We Are All Made of Stars.
Oh, yes, the Moby video. The Moby video.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of fun. Certainly a very eclectic cast of characters in that video. And actually, it's gotten a lot of notoriety because it was number one for quite a while. So that was nice. It was fun. Moby's a great guy. It was nice of him to ask me to do so. My fiance was in it with me. She's the girl on the bed behind me while I'm licking my cell phone.
And wasn't Gary Coleman in that also and Todd Bridges?
I believe so. There was like 50 people in that. Everybody was in that.
Vern Mini-Me Troyer is in that thing.
Right.
Thora Birch is in that thing.
Steve Navarro from Jane's Addiction.
Right.
Who else is in there? Tommy Lee. Lots of cool folks.
Well, with all the touring you're doing and recording, do we get a chance to see you on the screen anytime soon?
Most certainly. As a matter of fact, I have a movie coming out which premiered last month at the Philadelphia Film Festival as the official selection for the festival, which is a very warped, deranged, sick type movie, but it's kind of like similar to Kentucky Fried Movie. I don't know if you remember that.
Right,
in the 70s. But it's along that vein of comedy, but very artistic in a way. And anyway, that film premiered to 500 people at the Philadelphia Film Festival. It was an amazing premiere, and I guess now it's kind of doing a film festival tour, and then once it gathers enough momentum, I suppose we'll be seeing a theatrical on it towards the end of the summer.
So it sounds like you're keeping really busy, and more importantly, keeping out of trouble.
Exactly. Don't have time for that.
Exactly.
Now, I don't even have time to sleep, let alone get into any trouble.
You know, there has been a lot of press over the years with you and some other child actors. Was there a lot of exaggeration there, or were you a handful?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I do own responsibility. I'll start off by saying that for anything that I might have done. But more importantly than that, I mean, you must realize that when people are in a public spotlight, obviously they get the brunt of things, and they don't oftentimes have the chance to defend themselves. I mean, even if I were doing a radio show like this where, you know, X amount of listeners are hearing me and they get the full story and they go, oh, okay, now I get what it's all about, that still doesn't leave the rest of the world, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much territory to cover that one bad story that goes on in a news wire comes out and everybody reads it, and then you go to defend yourself and half of them pick up the defense, you know, and maybe a quarter of them, you know, actually publish it in a place that means anything. Usually they stick it on the back page, you know, and it gets covered up. And in the end, you know, people believe, you know, what they want to believe. And unfortunately, if they're only being fed the downside of the information, then that's all they get. I'm not saying I'm an angel, but certainly my cause has always been morality and doing good things. And yeah, I've had my downfalls and my pit stops, but haven't we all? You know, I mean, I don't think there's a human being out there that hasn't had a bad day or a bad week. You know, unfortunately, mine have ended up on the front page, and the explanation for them hasn't.
Well, it's nice to be able to have a chance to talk to you and hear about some of the things you're doing and the fact that you're still working. You've got your music career, you've got your acting career, and you're having a good time. I thank you very much for talking with us, Corey. I know you're very, very busy, so I thank you for taking the time out to chat with us this evening.
Well, I thank you very much for having me, and everybody should go check out the album. Certainly listen to the lyrics of Megaloman, because I think it will be inspirational to some people who are interested in that whole kind of, you know, that whole kind of circus that is Michael Jackson's life. And the rest of the album is really a lot of fun, so pick it up. It's out in stores worldwide August 6th, and hopefully we'll be seeing you when we come to town.
Looking forward to it. Thanks very much, Corey.
Thank you very much.